You're putting up with the Comedians Uncorked podcast, live from the Sunshine State, Florida. Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians Uncorked podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony Gard and Pat Largo.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Comedians Uncorked podcast. Like Mr. Announcer said, Tony Gard here. My name is Pat Largo. It's Thursday, December 9th, 2021, and thank God this year's almost over. We got a lot of stuff going on today. I want to thank you guys. I don't know if we have any more new platforms. We picked up Breaker a week or two ago, along with Spotify.
Yeah,
Tony.
I don't think we've jumped on anything new.
No, but thank you guys though for being on whatever platform you're on. Also, if you want to get us at our YouTube channel, Comedians Uncorked, please feel free to hit the subscribe button. We also post a few things a week, at least two to three times a week, sometimes more.
Yeah.
Also on social media. Of course, Facebook, Comedians Uncorked, at Instagram, at Comedians Uncorked. Of course, everything goes through the website, which is comediansuncorked.com. Links are in the description. And a huge thank you to our studio sponsor, Julie Drolshagen of Century 21. Just contact her for all of your real estate and property needs here in the Pinellas County and Tri-County area of Tampa. Give her a shout at 727-902-9233 or check her out at floridabeachbusiness.com.
Floridabeachbusiness.com.
That's right. Thank you so much, Julie Drolshagen. And coming up on the show today, before I bust out with this real quick, these treats, I'm going to show you real soon. Before we bust out with this, we want to tell people what we got. We got some stuff here that really got me going when you sent me what we're going to be doing today, because I had a couple of the same ideas, and I'm glad we're thinking along the same lines.
And by the way, there's a lot of activity in comedy world right
yes.
now. So this is only a couple of stories. So.
And real quick, this is why you're on this podcast. We're not three or five guys bull crapping for 3 or 4 hours about nothing. We're giving you an hour's worth of comedy business, comedy stuff, and this is what we love to do. So thanks again for listening and checking us out.
Yes.
Spotify, which hit me because we're on Spotify.
We are on Spotify for now.
For now?
We'll see. I don't know.
If you haven't heard, Spotify has pulled comedians' content from their platform, and several, and they're big names. We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about that, yeah.
Yep. Another huge name, Bill Burr cancels cancel culture. Someone's got to do it. Netflix announces a huge, and we mean a huge, all-star comedy festival
this
coming
up.
This
is big.
Yes, next
this
year.
It's really big, yeah.
And then, of course, we answer the question of the week, which was last week's question was, what punchline from a TV show is stuck in your head?
I think I misinterpreted the question.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It was your own question, though.
I know.
Now, because you're saying punchline. I mean, that's basically, or just like a line.
Well, that's the thing. Right? It's like, it says punchline.
You know.
But I think that I went more with like taglines,
right?
You know, like catchphrases,
right?
Which I think most of us, right? I'm not the only one that's wrong about my own question.
Like if someone said that when people scream "Norm" from Cheers when he walks in, they go "Norm."
Yeah.
That's a one word thing. But
that's
you
it, yeah.
people talk about nowadays when they say Cheers, they go "Norm."
Yeah.
So they carried on 30 years later.
It's carried on.
So
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay though, because I had it going, and then my girlfriend Lisa mentioned one that she said, and she said, and I said, well, I don't know if he's a comedian. I'll mention this later. And she goes, I think he is. Look it up. And she said, look it up to me. And I said, okay, well, maybe I will look it up. So I'll let you know a little bit later
okay.
what that is. In the
All
meantime,
right.
we've had a rough few weeks here, Tony and myself, and there's nothing that picks me up more is my good friends at Mimi's. I'm going to bring this to the camera, Tony.
Look at this. This is a real treat, actually.
I don't want people to understand.
This is good
I hope
stuff.
They can
yeah.
see this. Now, it didn't survive the car ride too good, but these are Mimi's Minis and these peppermint ones for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this right here. The Mimi's Minis in Port Richey, Florida. I'm just going to... Dude, I've got to tell you, they'll change your life. So
they're changing ours right now.
Right now. For bad or good. We don't care. But we're going to nosh on some of those a little bit later. So thank you, Lana Van
yes.
Doren and everybody
yeah,
at Mimi's.
Yeah, those things are delicious.
So, but before we get into the news and everything, as always, we hope you guys had a great week from when we talked to you last week.
Last week, yeah.
How was your week and weekend?
It was a week. It was
yeah,
all
no,
right.
Yeah, we had a lot going on.
You know, everything was going on. I worked the show on Saturday matinee with Brad Upton.
Yes.
So he was a cool guy. Cool. And it turns out he's kind of doing that whole thing with the matinees on his own. He's trying to drum up more business, obviously.
Okay.
And one of his things that's selling him right now is the dry bar, you know, with all the views and that kind of thing. So that's helping him get those dates. But he's basically trying to attach these matinees on his own, like an independent show, with the shows that he's already booked. Like he's in town, like he might be in town doing another show. So he'll try to set up a matinee at a local club.
Yeah.
To come through there, and he basically does like a door deal, and if it turns out well, and if they like him, a lot of them, they've already offered him a lot of, he's already had a lot of offers to come back for the weekend. So you're doing exactly right. What you want to do there. You know, you're basically selling yourself, and he did pretty well. Saturday was, it was a good turnout. Saturday, like a 3:30 show, and there were probably about 150, 180 people.
Okay.
You know, so the whole bottom floor was pretty much, you know, it's pretty full.
And this was at the Tampa Improv.
Yeah, it was at the Improv.
Okay. And if anybody doesn't know, Tampa Improv, I don't know about other improvs, but this is a 3-tier. They have like the crow's nest up top.
Yeah, they got the rail. We call it the rail.
The rail. I love it up there. But each level, even ground floor, there's not a bad seat. Second level, crow's
nest.
You
can see the stage from wherever in the room. But right. You really don't want to be on the, you know, on the third. The rail, because that's way up there.
Yeah.
There's no table. There's just the countertop. It's like basically a countertop with stools.
And you're just leaning
so
up.
So that's like the, you know, those late ticket buyers.
Yeah, or the free radio. When I was in radio, I used to get the free ones to watch David Tell and those guys. He goes, sit up there, and the nosebleeds, Largo.
But that's so, also where the green room is.
That was a great green room, beautiful green room.
So you can see the comic coming out.
It's true.
Sometimes they come out and they'll mess around with.
Yeah. No, so, it's a great thing. So yeah. And real quick, if anybody, let me back up two quick things if people don't know. Tony, obviously in the business, acting comedian for over 20 years, just worked with some of the biggest names. So his home club is the Tampa Improv, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
That's my home club.
So Brad Upton, if you haven't checked him out. Older dude, probably now I would say somewhere maybe in his early to mid-60s, if I had a guess.
Early mid-60s, okay. Something like that. Yeah, he's a little older.
The matinee thing is a great idea. That's a fantastic idea, especially for the early bird, older comic people. That's fantastic.
That's exactly, yeah.
But Dry Bar, he has, I don't know how many views, a Dry Bar comedy out of Utah, I believe.
Yeah, it's a Mormon... Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
And here's some of the funny part. It's all dry bar. It's clean comedy. And some of the guys I know that do dirty stuff actually have their own specials. And they can do 30, 45 minutes of absolutely clean comedy, which is great to see.
Yeah.
You know, I got some great. We all know guys that have done it.
Yeah. I'm not one of them.
No, you could. You could do it.
I could, I'm sure. But you know what? I don't really want to.
I know. What's
I don't
America?
Really care to. I mean,
you don't have to be clean if you don't want to.
Yeah. Leave me alone. Fuck off.
See that? There goes the dry bar chances right
That's
there.
That's it.
Let me back up a second just for people who are around the world or who are not in tune with the comedy business or maybe entertainment ticket-wise. You mentioned a door deal for Brad.
Yeah.
So, like, what does that mean if someone says, hey, I want to do a door deal?
If somebody does a door deal, it depends on the venue, how you set it up. Basically, you split the ticket. You split the cost, you know, somebody buys a ticket. Say you got a ticket, $10, mm-hmm. just putting a number out there, $10. And then you split the door. You split the ticket with the venue.
You know?
And usually for something like that, because he's not getting any of the bar, which means that... He doesn't have a deal where he's going to get any money they made from the bar. Only money he's going to make is from the ticket sales.
Ticket sales, yeah.
So, but that's kind of what a door deal is. It depends on the venue. You split the door, and then if you do well, you make a lot of money. If you don't do so well, then you don't, you know, you're not going to make very much, and you're probably not going to come back for another deal like that.
Right.
You didn't make him enough money to make it worth a second booking. But what he's been doing is he's been getting offered to come. He's been getting booked to come back for the full weekend. So instead of just coming in and doing a matinee, now he's doing six shows, and that's paid. You know, you're not doing a door deal now. Now you're doing a contract and you're being paid for each show. So unless you're a big time comic, that's, you know, you want to get paid per show, you know.
Correct.
Unless you got the leverage to do the door deal and make a pretty good sum.
A crap. That's what Cable Guy would do back in the day. Back when he could do radio promos. My man Larry the Cable Guy, and he would know, he wouldn't have to worry about stuff. He would do radio promos on morning shows as his character, and he knew he would be able to sell out the place because he was on the air, because those markets, those particular cities, loved him.
Yeah.
So he did. He goes, "Hey, I don't need you to pay me. Just come on down to my show this Friday and Saturday," and he'd sell out like four shows, and he'd get all that, and he'd make some jack back in the day doing that.
And, so, especially if you're somebody that has some kind of good merchandise, like if you have a cool T-shirt or something that people want to buy, you can really do well, because you know now you're giving your fans something that they, you know, they can walk away with and have as a memorabilia, as a souvenir. So, but that's if you got a good T-shirt. I've never had a good T-shirt. So.
No, I only have Comedians on Court.
Yeah, this one.
You get that, which is nice, though. DitchDogEntertainment.com.
That company's dead now. The Ditch Dog is still alive.
Ditch Dog's alive. Cable Guy had like grits and tits, I think, with a rebel flag.
Yeah. Oh, he's got so much merch now.
Oh God.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I didn't want to get that started.
That's awesome.
But I'm glad you had a great weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this weekend,
what you got?
I'll be opening up for Damon Wayans at the Tampa Improv.
Nice.
So, yeah, forgot to mention that. So, yeah, nice. If you're in Tampa, if you're in the area, there's six shows, Fridays through Sunday. Hopefully, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Come up, say what's up.
Good. I like it. I think Dylan Walker from Tampa is making an appearance
I think he's hosting.
Is he hosting it? Okay.
Yeah, I believe he's hosting.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I told him I'd give him a shout-out. I didn't know it was you opening. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But is this the first time you work with Damon?
Yeah, it's the first time I work with Damon Wayans.
Oh, okay, wow.
So, yeah, that's huge.
Good for you.
That's awesome. He's one of the big guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a legend.
Oh,
But you've worked with so many over the years, which is great, man. Yeah, I'm kissing Tony's ass. You know why? Because I want a raise. That's why.
And my ass is delicious.
Oh, my God. But almost as delicious as Mimi's Minis. Imagine when they start endorsing, because right now I'm giving some free shit right here. I tell you
that's
right
the worst time to do an endorsement. We're talking about ass.
That's right. Hey, these taste better than ass.
These taste better than ass. Give it a try. Buy them by the dozen.
Well, I was headlining for Bonkers Comedy Club.
Headlining,
yes. My second. I've done a few, not even my own shows. My Comedians Uncorked. I've done a lot of time, but Bonkers has been making me a headliner recently. Which is, I mean, shout out to Margaret Sanfilippo and Joan and those guys. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. And we turned it out, man. Twisted Root Burger Company in Winter Park.
Nice.
And it was Friday and Saturday, one show each. I was with Christoph John. And this guy, Joe Jax, he did a guest set. And
quit hitting the table. Take your hands off the table.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. By hitting the table? I'm sorry.
Noise.
I get made very...
Every time you talk, boom, sounds like King Kong creeping up behind you.
I'm gesticulating. I got to sit on my mitts.
slap your thigh.
But, yeah, man, shout out to the crowd out there, man. Never been there before. Mark and Dave, he goes by Visby. That's his nickname.
You did like a full hour?
I did 60 minutes on the dot on Friday, and then I did an hour and 10 on Saturday.
Nice.
And I felt really, I knew it had it. I had it in me, and I don't go in there filling or stretching. And by the way, for any comics that say those words, I got 30, but I mean, I'll stop at 20, but I can fill and stretch. There's no filling and stretching. You do the material.
I usually do like 40 minutes of filler. Mostly. It's mostly filler.
Mostly. I really stretch it out. But no, man, I just go in with a game plan and I just try to memorize as much stuff as I can and improv a little bit when I can. But like going out with a girlfriend now, that gave me like an additional 20 minutes off the top of my head.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, and I'm working on that and her mom jokes and other jokes. But I'm talking more comfortable now about my mom passing. So I'm just talking about stories about my mom and my dad. So just stories like that are heartfelt that the audience kind of gets with you on.
Yeah.
But you can give them with a punchline and they're on your side. But, man, it was great, man. So I hope to do more with Bonkers and other clubs. And, I love it. So I had a great time. You had a great time. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So making people laugh.
Well, man. Trying to.
So, but that's what we did this weekend. So, again, I hope you guys had a great weekend and a great week here. Let's see. Should we kick into what we're here for?
Let's talk about some of the news stories.
Let's see. I'm going to go with what you gave me first, because this one, once I researched it, I said, uh-oh.
It's pretty big, right?
And it's this one right here, folks. You probably have read about it or heard about it. So Spotify, it's only like the biggest freaking podcast platform on the planet. Spotify pulls comedians' content from their platform.
Yes. So this is a story. It's on Deadline.
Uh-huh.
The headline is Spotify removes many top comedians from service in royalty payments dispute.
Yeah.
Now, this also reminds me of what I mentioned a few weeks ago about the platforms, the streaming platforms, where you're talking about people getting royalties and paid after the work is done.
Right.
Instead of just like a one-time payment. This is a little bit different, obviously, because it's more in line with like music services, you know, IBM, you know, or BMI, ASCAP area
right.
there.
Artist royalties.
Yeah. So let me read the first paragraph here. John Mulaney, Jim Gaffigan, Tiffany Haddish, and Kevin Hart are among the big name comedians whose work has been removed from streaming service Spotify in a fight over royalty payments. The dispute centers on a group of entertainers who are attempting to be paid a copyright royalty for jokes they wrote when they are played on radio and digital service providers such as Spotify, SiriusXM, Pandora, and YouTube, which we are also on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
The effort to win the royalties is being led by global rights administrator Spoken Giants. The organization wants to collect royalties from underlying composition copyrights of spoken word media. They point to songwriters who are paid for use of their music and lyrics. So this basically goes on in that stream. So the debate is, you know, should they be getting paid as writers as well? Because that's what, you know, if you're a writer, if you're a songwriter, you get paid for the song as well as the artist, as the singer. So if you're two separate people, and if you're the same person, you know, you also get paid for both of those sides.
Well, that's what comedians are, right? I mean, they're writing
yeah.
their jokes,
they're
those
writing,
are their bits.
And they're doing spoken word.
And they're performing it.
It's a spoken word performance. As that's how it would be classified.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that's the debate right here. So it looks like Spotify is basically, their strategy is to kind of strong arm, say, look, we don't need you. They literally said in one of the parts here, is that here it is. See if this rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify does provide entertainers with exposure and access to large audiences. So having their work taken down is harmful to each individual creator, said CEO Jim King, a former BMI executive. You're getting exposure.
Right.
Which is what you tell a comic when they're first starting out. You're getting exposure. Because once you're professional, exposure doesn't pay the bill.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like I can't go to the landlord and say, look, here's my payment and exposure.
Right.
You know,
good.
Look how much exposure I got.
Right.
The guy, the CEO of Spotify said that I'm getting a lot of exposure, and I think that is the equivalent of the rent.
So give me some time. I don't know how much more exposure I'm going to need.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need. I think I'm going to need I think I need to upgrade to a three bedroom now.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm getting so much exposure.
Yeah, so much. I'm nearly more square footage. As a matter of fact, I now need to talk to the energy company because I have to tell them about my exposure because I can't pay that fucking bill either.
I had to call my doctor about this exposure.
Right.
Like, is this dangerous? I'm like, is this cancerous? What's going on here?
So now we got to contact Jim King, the CEO of Spotify. Is that what we got to do?
I don't know.
Or you guys can do it. Just call him a dickhead. That's all.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like this is the same old story where,
yeah.
you know, you're getting free content. Like, we're creating free content for Spotify. Spotify is still selling advertising.
Right.
You know? All these places, they're all selling advertising. So as long as you're on their platforms, they're trying to, you know, they're collecting that content and they're going to use it. And if they, you know, and if you try to fight them on it, they're going to yank you off their platform. That's not a way to negotiate. And the thing is, that's not a smart move either. Because, and I know why they're doing that, because they spent all their money on Rogan.
Yeah.
They gave Joe Rogan got all the money.
Yeah.
So they're not, they really, now they're like, you know what, we better, I think that was, we should have redid that deal. Yeah. But now they don't want to pay anybody else, which, I mean, I get it, because they gave him a whole lot of money, which is great for him, you know?
Yeah.
Good for him. But the reality is, if Spotify pushes too hard, all of these people, they're just going to take their content and have it on their own platform. Their own website is their own platform.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't take that much to buy the storage space,
mm-hmm.
you know, the server space to run your own stuff. It really doesn't. So, I mean, it's like these guys are kind of doing a bad move.
I'm putting the word out right now to my sound guy, Randy Myers. Randy, get the storage space. We're going to Comedians Uncorked exclusively soon, baby.
Well, that listen, that's the intention. That's the intention. First and foremost, that's the intention, is to drive our fans to our own space, our own universe.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about this kind of thing, because that's kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, it takes money to do that. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, be careful, Spotify. Don't make us yank ourselves. Listen, don't yank us off. Come on, man.
That's right. And all these big stars you got going, come on.
Let us stay on the platform.
Yeah, please. I mean, deal with Haddish and all those big names.
You know, feature us.
Yes.
Feature us on that.
And again, if you're not, no, Spotify. Jim King, it's Comedians Uncorked.
It's Comedians Uncorked.
Okay, I just want to make sure he knows.
Now he knows who to cancel.
I hope he does. And
great.
And then he does, and then he mentions us, and he goes, these pricks in Clearwater, Comedians Uncorked, and be like, this is the greatest day of my life.
And we won't be up anywhere, and that's nobody will find us. So,
then we'll be on our website, comediansuncorked.com.
We're going to be on the side of the
but,
street.
But you're right, though. I hope Spotify can hopefully negotiate with those comedians, so... all right, let's move on here real quick, too. This is, another big name. Jesus. I'm surprised he wasn't mentioned on Spotify. Bill Burr cancels cancel culture. Now, before I even read the story or you read it, I'm getting an idea in my mind. I can already picture his face and just the way he gets that poison out of his body. The way he leans on the mic. He's like, yeah, you know, kiss my ass, you know? I just love the way he goes about it. So...
How that's a good impression, dude. That's nice, man.
I mean, I love Bill Burr, and I know Chappelle's show, or Chappelle's also against cancel culture, but I know Burr is going to be the man here. So how is he canceling cancel culture?
So basically, he was saying pretty much what we were saying the last couple weeks. It's like you got people that are trying to cancel you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not your fans, so it doesn't matter. So this is a story from the FoxNews.com, and the headline is Comedian Bill Burr Rails Against Cancel Culture, saying, I also have the right to say whatever I want. A stand-up star reasoned that a comedian has to be both irreverent and empathetic, mm-hmm. which is true. So they have a video here, but it loads up too slow.
Okay.
So he gets like that flash thing and ads. So I'll just read a little bit here.
Yeah.
He was on one of the shows over there. Let's see. Oh, the comedian appeared on the Pat McAfee show mm-hmm. this week and shared his take on why he doesn't lose sleep worrying about being canceled online. This is a time to be irreverent, and it's also a time to be empathetic, Burr reasoned, mm-hmm. and you have to know how to do both. These people that are on the extreme right and left, I think, only represent about 15% of the population. And any time you're hardcore or extreme, you inadvertently become intolerant. I just feel like 85% of the country on the right and the left is kind of sitting there, where when are dad and mom going to stop screaming at each other?
Right.
So, I mean, which is exactly it, you know. It's like people are, you know, everybody, most people are just kind of being patient while this whole wave goes, you know, runs its course, because it's just really ridiculous. It's what we've been saying the whole time.
You're right.
It's you just don't like something. That's fine. But you don't get to cancel it and destroy it because you don't like it. You're just not a fan. Change the channel.
Right.
Don't go to that show. Don't go to that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't buy that car.
Right.
You don't like that car? Don't buy that car.
And that's something we said when I did radio many years ago, and I worked with DJs that were very over the top, right? And they want to call the radio station and ask for the GM and try to get that person fired or suspended. And we all said the same thing. Don't listen to that particular radio station when that particular air personality is on. I understand if you like the radio station, right? Mm-hmm. But just give it 3 or 4 hours and don't listen to that person and then tune back in. I mean, I'm all for your free speech of saying, hey, I don't like you. I get that.
Yeah.
But he said, you're right, what we said earlier, what you especially said a few weeks ago, it's all free speech. And for God's sake, man, just, you know, you can hate, you can, you not, don't like, but you're not allowed to. I mean, who do you think you are to start protesting and say, I'm not doing anything until Bill Burr is canceled off the face. He is no longer to be a comedian. He is disgusting. It's like, yeah. That's not good, man.
It's not. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And if you read the article, I'll put the link here. Yeah. But they also talk about Al Franken, the former senator.
Yeah.
He goes into discussion about that as well. He makes a lot of good points. But, I mean, that's everybody's kind of echoing the same thing. It's like, you know what? You're pushing too hard because you don't like. It's almost like a habit. It's like a hobby and a habit for these people.
Yes.
Because they're getting something. They're getting attention by trying to cancel other people.
There you go.
By trying to limit other people's attention, you're getting attention and you're getting gratification of that. And that's your ego. And that's, you know, it's time to keep it in check.
That spotlight is now on them.
Yeah.
And
they're enjoying it.
And they're enjoying it. So they're getting their 10 to 15. Their 10 to 15 minutes of fame is now trying to get the famous canceled.
Yeah. And so, there you go. That's good. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it.
And the thing, like you said, we're waiting for this wave. And I don't know if I saw the same interview or he interviewed by someone else, but he was saying this same exact stuff, that 85 to 90% right in the middle is the rest of us. It's just, and we're waiting, like you said, it's almost like, not global warming, but like when the earth kind of heats and cools every few million years, it's going to come back around where things are going to happen. And we're just waiting until that next phase happens where all those cancelers, all the wokesters, finally have to get tired. When you're so woke so long, you got to get tired.
And well, you know, after a while, there's nothing to be woke about because you've watered everything down in your world. Outside, you know, if you step back outside of your world, you know, you start to realize, okay, there's more to this. And a lot of these people that are doing this haven't got the experience, life experience yet to understand what they're even talking about yet, what they're complaining about.
It's an indoctrination, so to speak.
Yeah.
They hear one of their friends say something, or maybe a friend's parent, or whatever it is, and they go, yeah, I want to be on that team. Now, I'll tell you real quick. My show's on over the weekend in Winter Park, right? Friday night. And I know the audience there. I know I don't do a lot of political. I'll just dip my toe in a couple of jokes, right?
Yeah.
But then I know, and I bring it right out, and I go another way, right? But the Friday night show must have been 100 and something people there, and in front of me, and a lot of people. I was looking through the crowd, a lot of 20 somethings. We had definite Latinos there, definite African Americans there, and young white kids. And I go for a few seconds. I go, let me see, what do I need to change anything? And I almost like, but the two guys up ahead of me were young and they're funny, and they did their thing. So I said, I'm just going to do my thing.
Yeah,
and I did my thing. I did my regular stuff, and they were laughing. I had two of the African American girls. I go back to them once in a while. And go, Soul Sisters, how we doing? And they would laugh. And every time I hit a punchline, sometimes I look at them and they're laughing, and everyone else is laughing. But for a few seconds, I was like, is this audience a little too woke or young for me? I was just wondering, maybe. And it just made me think a second. I'm like, I don't want no brushback or people just sitting there with their arms crossed going, can we get the old white guy off stage now? He's saying things I don't like.
Oh, it's going to happen either way. But you know,
Right.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you're just like, oh, I don't know. Is this audience going to get the material? And that's the question. That's the biggest thing with getting booked. You're not sure who the audience is going to be.
Correct.
Unless they know who you are, you know, unless you've built a fan base, it's up for grabs. It could be, you know, it could be people that are, you know, you're in the right genre, or it could be quite the opposite.
Right.
And the audience does not react quite as well.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why nowadays I hope the audience can, and they can still Google, you know, our name, your name.
Oh,
I mean, you've been around and people know you way more than me, but they could Google Pat Largo and see some of my jokes and go, oh, you know what? I don't think I like what he says. And
that's what they should do.
They should do that.
That's what they do for the movies.
Right. Yes.
You know? If you're gonna go to a movie, you're gonna see the previews first.
Right.
The same thing with comics. Just Google the comic. If they sound like it's something that you want to see, go see them. If not, skip them. They're not your cup of tea.
That's it.
Find some other tea.
There's plenty of tea out there, for Christ's sake.
There is a lot of tea.
All right, so hopefully Bill Burr is going to take care of that for us here, and I'm all for Bill Burr. So he's. And by the way, if anybody doesn't know, Bill Burr is married to an African-American woman. So,
yeah,
like,
he is, that's
like
right.
He's, you know, so stop saying he's a racist or he's an old white guy is what he's talking about. He's a cool dude. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
All right, this right here, this next one, I just happened to see today. I was going to bring the story in, and you already beat me to it. Netflix.
Yes.
I love how sometimes they get a little, you know, a little opposite of themselves. But Netflix announces this really huge all-star comedy festival that's going to take place for like a week and a half or two coming up in 2022.
Yes. Yeah. So this is kind of like going from the Bill Burr cancel culture statements to this. A lot of the lineup are controversial now. Dave Chappelle's on the bill.
Yes.
So I'm gonna, let me play the. This is from Hollywood Reporter. So let me play you the.
Comedy mega festival in Los Angeles, and Dave Chappelle, whose recent special The Closer was hugely controversial for the streaming service, is on the lineup. Netflix is a joke. The festival will take place across 25 venues, including iconic locations such as the Greek Theater and the Hollywood Bowl. The lineup of 130 comics features
awesome.
Gabriel Iglesias, who will make history as the first ever stand-up comedian to perform at Dodger Stadium,
nice,
and
right?
Kevin
wow.
Hart. Who will headline the Crypto.com Arena, formerly the Staples Center. More confirmed comics for the festival include Ali Wong, Amy Poehler, Amy Schumer, Aziz Ansari, Bill Burr, Chelsea Handler, Chris Rock, Conan O'Brien, David Letterman,
Christ.
Ellen DeGeneres, Jerry Seinfeld, John Mulaney, Jonathan Van Ness, Kim Jong, Kevin Smith, Larry David, Nicole Byer, Pete Davidson, Ray Romano, Seth Rogen, Tig Notaro, Tina Fey, and many, many
good
more.
Lord.
As for
wow.
Chappelle, he will headline the Hollywood Bowl. His special, The Closer, which was released in October, was widely blasted.
I think Louis C.K. is supposed to be on there as well.
Oh, really?
I believe so, yeah. So that's going to be pretty huge. And this was actually scheduled for, I believe, last year or earlier this year. But because of COVID, it kept getting pushed back.
Yeah.
So this isn't something that just happened. This has been something that's been in the planning for a while.
That's
going to be pretty huge. That reminds me of the, like I was saying earlier, mentioned to you, the Oddball Comedy
yeah.
Festival, which was, I believe that was by Funny or Die. I believe they did that, Funny or Die.
Okay.
Oddball Comedy Festival toured all over the country with a bunch of headliners, a full day of comedy, and then they had the side stage, which I actually got to do the side stage here in Tampa. And, so you'd have, like, some of the comics from the area, you know, the professionals, and they'd do the side stage show.
That's
so
awesome.
That was cool, yeah. And that was with Big J. That was his side stage for the tour.
Big J. Okerson.
Yeah, so
How
he was hosting that side stage. Yeah, he was cool, man. It was great.
That's good. That's because if that's the one I'm thinking of, that had Amy Schumer and Aziz
yeah.
Ansari.
Yeah.
Louis C.K., if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I got to look to verify, but it had a pretty cool lineup, man.
And who else did you hang out besides Big J? Big J is good enough, but did you hang out or see
anybody
I didn't really hang out with anybody.
No? I just like the comics that were doing the side
sure.
stage. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
man.
That's cool.
I don't hang out with just schmoes here. I hang out with Tony Gard. He's the guy teaching me comedy. That's what it's all about.
Oh, Lord.
That's
going to be cool, man. That's going to be a really cool thing. So
that's the ultimate festival, because all those days, what'd you say, 25 different venues or something
25
like that?
Different venues all over LA, and I guess it's gonna be like, is it multiple days or something?
Oh yeah, yeah, it goes at least like, probably closer to a week
yeah.
and a half at least, because
so it's gonna be
with the former Forum, what's it called now, Bitcoin or something, what the hell is it called,
something like that.
Wherever that, I'll call it the Forum,
yeah,
wherever
sort of
it is,
the
Staples Center, I'm sorry, but just think of that size of a venue. But then, like you said,
yeah.
Fluffy Iglesias doing Dodger
yeah.
Stadium?
Well, they also said that they're going to be taping specials from this.
Sure,
so
I bet.
They're basically creating their own content.
Right.
They're doing this big festival. They're going to tape probably like 2 to 3 years worth of specials out of this that they can release over time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, that's how you do it. That's how you get everybody in one place at one time, roll camera.
You could get a special from every one of these comedians.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you can get something. You'll have the specials from the comics. You'll have the documentary about making it.
I love that.
The thing. You'll have behind-the-scenes stuff from it as well.
Yeah.
So there's going to be interviews. You know, there'll probably be a interview special on Netflix with comics, all that kind of stuff. So they'll all be on the podcast. Netflix is a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they'll have like segments of them on there. So, I mean, they're creating, they're doing exactly what everybody else is doing, except on a huge scale.
A very huge scale. So. And you guys can let us know, too, you know, at YouTube, if you want to get on our channel and hit subscribe, or when you get us on, you can reach us on Spotify and the other platforms. Let us know how you feel about this, too, because, like, when it comes to this, to me, watching the actual show, like the Netflix, if they had the show of, say, snippets of different comics doing their thing for, like, an hour and a half, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm a sucker for behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I love seeing how they made it, how they put everything together. I want to see the snippets of the comics. I want to see the crew working. I want to see the multiple venues, how they do everything at the same time and sync up together. Because that is the who's who of comedy right there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a photo album.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, yeah. It's really, right. That's beyond, like, I mean, you know, that's like 10-time Mount Rushmore's right there. You got so many comics. And I wonder how they get paid.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I'm sure they're all under contracts, right. You know. So, I mean, they're going to get paid for their performance.
Yeah.
And then if I'm sure some of them have cut deals, obviously cut deals for specials, so they're going to get paid for that. You know, for that kind of the release of that,
it's got to be big because they got Jerry Seinfeld out there. He said Larry David, for God's sake.
Larry David, they got all of them.
You know,
that's good.
That's pretty damn good. That really is good. So
it's not too shabby.
But no, that's awesome to see that, man. But no, that's why I was just telling people. You know, let us know like if you like this kind of stuff too. We want to know what you like. The people in Australia, Philippines, thank you. Our United States got some people in Canada digging us. And we enjoy
Canadians?
It, man. We got some Canadians.
All right.
Now, I say that in the nicest way. We love you. I've got a Canadian neighbor who comes down for 5 months out of the year. His name is Grant. He lives two houses down from me. Not a good driver, but it's okay. He spends money. He loves watching hockey. He goes to the Lightning games a lot to get his hockey fix.
Of course.
So God bless Grant and his lovely wife.
Seeing the best.
That's right. The two-time Stanley Cup champion. Sorry about that, Grant.
Sorry, Canada.
Sorry, I know, even though you invented the sport, right? Sorry, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the world champions. Should we go on to the question of the week?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, very good. So you posed this good one last week. And by the way, kudos to you, Tony God, because you get some of the best questions around. You make them up, and I like them. You said, what punchline from a TV show, or notable line, I guess you could say, from a TV show is stuck in your head?
Yes.
And I don't know if that was the one I said earlier that my girlfriend Lisa was mentioned. She may have been done the previous one when you said something about like what role. Let me back up to that one for one second because I want to clarify something. You could probably know this way more than I do. She said today, she goes, I listened to your podcast from a couple of weeks ago. She's like a week behind. And she goes, on that question that Tony had about what comic do you like or two comics do you like, that went on to portray serious movie roles or, you know, role.
Yeah, dramatic roles.
Dramatic roles, right? So she said, I'm surprised no one said Tom Hanks. And I said, I don't know if he did stand-up. And she said, no, I think he did. Look it up. And she said, like, look it up. Like, oh, she knows what she's talking about. Do you know if he did? Now, he was in a sitcom back in the day.
Well, Tom Hanks was in the movie Punchline with with Sally Fields. And actually, there are some real comics in there as well. But from what I understand, he tried stand-up.
Okay.
He tried stand-up, but he was more of an improv troupe actor. He was more of a theater actor.
Makes sense,
but
sure.
He did try stand-up. He did do it early on.
Okay.
Early on in his career, he did.
Well, guess what?
And someone else tried stand-up, I believe, only once. Was Henry Winkler.
Now, that I think I've heard.
Yeah.
So
he was like, that's not for me.
I like that. Well, if you're watching, go like this. Hello, Lisa? Lisa is Pat. You're right. You're right. And I love... Hello? Hello? Okay, I didn't go with it. All right, so I guess if he technically did it, I guess he was right then.
Yeah.
He went, okay, so I stand corrected. So there you go. See, I admit my mistakes, folks. I admit them.
Just this once.
I'm half Italian, so I give you one time. Then I carry a grudge. I carry a grudge for the rest of my life.
My mother did that once.
Remember that?
That's right. Johnny Dangerously, people.
That's right. Look it up. Greatest movie ever.
Michael Keaton.
Dick Butkus. Come on. I keep going on with the stars in that movie. All right. What punchline from a TV show is stuck in your head?
Well, I had a couple that I remember from when I was a kid from watching sitcoms.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're more like catchphrases and sayings from the thing. But from What's Happening, hey, hey, hey.
Beautiful, right?
Right?
Yes.
Hey, hey,
yes.
Hey. And Welcome Back, Cotter. Was so full of them. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Right.
And what's the other guy? Horseshack.
He raises it. Yeah. Now, for people who don't know, just rewind this back and go check these out on YouTube. These are like shows from the 70s and stuff, right?
70s,
very
yeah.
funny, and they still are, I think, funny nowadays. And they're on several different local, TV channels.
Well, Welcome Back, Cotter. That's where John Travolta was doing. He was on that show before, just as his film career was launching. So, it's funny, though. Still funny. And Gabe Kaplan was a comedian.
He was a comedian.
And, he probably still is. He's probably still doing stuff. But he's also a good poker player.
Gabe Kaplan?
Yeah, he plays professional.
I was going to ask you, he didn't die, did he?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good.
I mean, we could look.
I know, I didn't know.
Okay. Last I heard, he was still working, though. But he's a working comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, good. I hope he's not. I know some people are unfortunate. They're leaving this earth far too soon. But those are great. I don't know.
There's a lot you could choose from, man.
There's a lot. Yeah. Or just a line, like we said before, like Norm, from Cheers or whatever,
Yeah.
I thought that one that was just used in one episode in Seinfeld that we still say nowadays is just that the master of your domain, just when Kramer comes in, he goes, "I'm out," and I say that for everything. That's just one line, but it just kind of sticks with me. But I love No Soup for You.
No Soup for You.
Soup Nazi.
I'm
sorry. And I know nowadays they were trying to cancel that, going, "Well, we can't say the Soup Nazi. That's what kind of people are you?" I don't know. We're comedy people. We enjoy it, and it's funny.
People with a sense of humor.
And based on a real character, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So
true.
Stop it. But No Soup for You. If you've seen Seinfeld, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen that episode, look it up on YouTube or on Netflix. They're on Netflix, I think, all the episodes.
Yeah.
But that, to me...
That's a good one.
Just the stoic way he would do that and look with that face. And then when he was on the finale, remember, was that right? He was on the finale,
I think, right?
Yeah,
the court. That was doing the court.
He was in court, and he would answer the same way, right? He would just, like, sit there just like with that face. I think he would just answer, yes, no. Like, he was still in character as a soup Nazi.
Yeah.
But that, to me, No Soup for You, though, was just the one, how they would slide down. And then George said something about, "I think you forgot my bread." And Jared's like, "Just let it go, George. Just let it go." It was just wonderful. So No Soup for You to me is something we say
and,
to this day.
Didn't wasn't it on Friends where they we were on a break? Was that with? It was some show. But I'm thinking it was them, like the whole Rachel and Ross relationship thing at some
point.
That was
I
think I vaguely remember that. I don't know. If I'm wrong, correct me.
Yeah,
let
that us
was
know.
From. But yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. But there's so many other.
Yeah, but like I said, I just had to go with that, the No Soup for You. Like I said, other ones, other shows, other movies. But I mean, just right there, just like No Soup for You. Just because if you're using something 23 or even like you said, Welcome Back, Cotter, you're using something 30, 40 years later.
Yeah.
It had to be good. Jimmy Walker, Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite.
Right? Now the guy's selling, he's what, 60-something, and he's selling some type of insurance on
TV. Yeah, he's getting paid with that phrase.
Yeah, and he still had to do it, right? He still had to say it's Dynamite. Like, of course he's going to say it.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool, man. But
So if you guys have some kind of punchline or catchphrase, put it in the comments. Let us know what show you're getting that from. That'd
Let us
be
know.
Cool, yeah.
Let us know. Spotify, hit us up. Your other podcast platforms, leave it in the comments on our Comedians on Cork YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit subscribe while we're there as well.
All right. So this week the question is, and you already have an answer, don't you?
Okay. That's a subtle way of making me do it.
I'll do it.
All right. He's.
I'll do it. So the question is for next week. What joke do you tell the most often?
My funniest one.
Oh, nice. That's a good answer.
That's all I know.
But that's not the right answer.
Correct.
I want to hear the joke.
Okay, now, all right, can we open this up a little more? I want to peel it back a little bit. What joke do you, whoever, tell the most often? So does that mean, like, can someone... that answers, like, you know, on Spotify or YouTube, they could just say whatever joke they say the most often. It could be a knock-knock joke. It could be a street joke.
Any
it could be whatever joke.
Yeah.
That's probably the best question because, I mean, I don't
Because, you know, there's a joke that sticks in your head. Sometimes it's like a street joke or like a joke that you made up or like a joke that you heard, a one-liner or something you caught or you might have heard.
Right.
Like your favorite comic says a joke, a quick joke that you that sticks with you.
Yeah.
That you end up, like, repeating because of the moment, you know? You know what I'm saying?
There's that, and there is one from the amazing Jonathan, but I'll save it
until
next week.
Oh, okay, cool.
And this is actually a street joke from the Aristocrats.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, but you're right, though. Okay, I see what you're going with this.
Now,
okay.
If you do have a joke that you heard from a comic,
uh-huh.
You know, give them credit.
Yes.
If you know who the comic is, you know, say the name. Let us know who the comic is. That's just out of respect.
That's true.
Give them credit for making you laugh
or
sticking stuff in your head.
That's true. And if it's from your mom or dad, respect them and say, I got this from my mom or my dad. Just get a shout out to mom or dad.
Especially if it's a shitty joke.
I know.
You know, blame them.
A real
this
dirty
is a
one.
Dad joke.
I know, dad jokes.
So you can tell your dad joke. Tell your dad joke here. Go ahead.
That's awesome. All right.
Get it out of the system.
Get it out now in front of the world. All right. So what joke do you tell the most often? So hit us up on whatever platform you're listening to us or, of course, on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button again, too. We really appreciate that. And maybe we'll even throw the question on comediansoncork.com as well. So that's cool. I like that. Now, you know what it's time for, Tony?
What time is it?
It's time for
Where are they at?
And it's very simple. All we do is tell you where all the big-time comics are around not only our state of Florida, but around America. So here we go.
We're
going to start off with my home club, Snappers Grill and Comedy Club in beautiful Palm Harbor, Florida. This weekend, tomorrow, and Saturday, two shows each night. Mr. Steve Marshall featuring is Adam Minnick from Cincinnati, the home of WEBN. Side Splitters in Tampa has, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, it's ISMO. You might know. Is it ISMO? I assume it's ISMO?
Oh, that sounds right. I'm not sure, though.
But he's great. He's going to be at Side Splitters through Saturday. He's from Finland. He started in 2002.
Oh, cool.
And earlier this year, he got with Merriam-Webster and released a digital comedy series, Roasting the English Language.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's it. That's fun. And I heard a preview, so you have to check that out. Your club, Tampa Improv in gorgeous Ybor City, Florida, has the legendary Damon Wayans. Again, Tony Gard, our co-host right here, is going to be opening up for Damon. How many shows this weekend? Do we know?
There's going to be six shows.
Damn.
There's going to be two Friday, two Saturday, and two on Sunday. So,
wow.
Make reservations. It's going to be a pretty wild time. So.
That's awesome, man. And as you see Tony, say hi to him too, man.
Yes.
And, of course, Tampa's Dylan Walker is also going to be hosting the show, so kudos to him, man. Nice, good up and coming.
Comedian. It was good to see that he's going to be on the bill.
Good kid. He's a good kid. Yeah. He really is. Coconuts Comedy Club in St. Pete Beach, Florida has from Milwaukee, Mr. Steve Arick, been on Comedy Central, MTV, looks like a rock star.
Steve.
Tell him you like Kiss, and he will kiss you on the lips. That's his favorite band of all time.
Bring him some Kiss memorabilia.
He'll love it. Seriously, Merry Christmas to you guys. He'll make a friend for life.
He'll have your children.
He looks like he ate your children.
He'll eat your children.
Christ. Steve, just back off a little bit.
Never mind. Don't bring him anything.
Just
go to the show.
Jacksonville, Florida Comedy Zone has one of my favorites, Valerie Storm. Very funny young lady. Comedy Zone in Greensboro, North Carolina. You got tonight Clint Coley, and then Friday and Saturday, Mr. T.K. Kirkland. And also, we're going to stick with the Comedy Zone theme in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Mike Speenberg. Been in the game over 20 years. Funny dude. And then also, we're going to go right now to Atlanta. Chad Daniels at the Punchline. One of the best comedy places, not just in Georgia, but in the country. So that's a great place. Funny Bone, Omaha, Nebraska. You got Greg Warren. He's in your area. And then this right here, I'm going to Michigan right now. I never heard of this club. You may have performed here. Dr. Grin's.
Dr. Grin's. I've heard of it. Have you? Not been there, no.
Okay, This is in Grand Rapids. Zainab Johnson. It's a female. I hope I didn't wreck your name too much. Zainab Johnson. She's going to be there this weekend. And then Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Okay.
Has Brad Williams.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good show.
This guy has been doing this for years, and he is one of the top-selling comics and most requested comedians in the country, if not the world.
Yeah, he's a favorite. He's a favorite.
He's good. He's a great guy. And another club called One Night Stands has Jamie Lissow on The Tonight Show.
I've worked with him before. He is hilarious, man.
I've never seen him, but I was reading his bio.
He's a great writer.
Yes. Well, that's funny because not only has he been on all the big shows, he is a co-writer of Real Rob on Netflix with Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
So I messaged him on Facebook this morning.
Well, I met him when he was actually opening for Rob Schneider.
Right.
So we all worked together on that bill.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, he's on the show on Netflix. Yeah. I've seen one episode, I think. I'm going to watch more now that I know. But by the way, his opener is Kamala Bellario from Michigan. She's a comedian, but also a serious musician. So I messaged her and told her, break a leg. Hey, you're opening for a good one. And maybe we'll have her on the podcast one day. And I messaged Jamie and said, hey, man, I see you from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm going to Anchorage in a couple of weeks, and I see all your stuff going on, and we'd love to see you come back to town here in Tampa. Maybe we can get you on the show one day.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we can get him on the show.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So that right there is where they're at. We try to just go around the country and give you some ideas as to where to go see a show this weekend because it's fun. Just go out there, have some drinks, have some food, get a friend.
Enjoy some live comedy.
Go laugh, man. You deserve it, man. That's what I'm telling people. So what else we got?
On today's episode of Comedians Uncorked, Pat takes us for a behind-the-scenes look at a comedy roast for comedian Bill Osi. It's his 50th birthday at Snappers Comedy Club in Palm Harbor, Florida.
We are going live with Tiffany Barbie. Thank you.
This is Bill Osi, and you're listening to the Comedians Uncorked podcast at my roast.
It's right.
Let's give a big round of applause and welcome to the stage, Tommy Bell.
Tommy Bell.
Two more Bell, all magic circumstances. Oh, it's good to be here. How about that Chris Gorgeous, huh? He's an amazing comic. He's really great to get the crown on his side. Last time we worked together, his opening line was, "Shut up, you fucking cunt."
I'm not a leader.
Yeah, you're not gay either. There's more dead dick in this room than the morgue in the VA hospital. Strapping asshole. Steve, seriously, this isn't even on my notes. Steve is the only person I've ever opened for in front of a fucking lobster tank full of dead lobsters. Fucking R.I.P. that dude from Port Charlotte, whatever his name was. Seriously. Steve looks like he's fucked every one of his son's friends' moms in alphabetical order.
Live with the Bill Shaker, owner of Snappers in Palm Harbor.
Hello.
Hang on, I don't want to interrupt.
The man of the hour.
Bill Bull Osi, amazing comedian, Tampa Bay area. You just got roasted for your 50th birthday.
Give us a quick part.
Yes, how do you feel about it?
I feel 10 pounds lighter.
Oh my God. There were some great things said, some bad things said, but we all laughed. But in all, how do you feel about roast?
Raped. I feel raped.
And catch this guy live.
I feel dirty. I feel like I need a shower.
Man. But Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to you, man.
That's always a happy segue.
Hello. I'm comedian Lou Angelwolf, and you're listening to Comedians Uncorked Podcast.
We got the light.
We got to wrap it up, folks. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 8 of the Comedians Uncorked Podcast. podcast. For Tony God, my name is Pat Largo. Again, get us at comediansuncorked.com, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook at Comedians Uncorked. Thank you again to our in-studio sponsor, Ms. Julie Drolshagen of Century 21. Contact her for all of your real estate needs and property. If you're living in Florida or moving here, give her a shout at 727-902-9233 or check out FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
It's the best website ever. Mimi's Minis, we're going to eat these right
Mimi's,
after the show.
Yes. Oh, my God. I almost forgot.
Hopefully we'll make them part of the show sometime. Thank you, Ilana Van Doren. You're awesome.
Yes.
And again, we love you guys so much. As we say, if you're gigging, you're winning, go see a show, laugh, you deserve it. And thank you so much for checking out Comedians Uncorked podcast.